The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Boys Life magazine. Our first article today is entitled, No Wimps Allowed. And there's a picture here of Zachary Gordon, and he's dressed in true wimpy garb. He's dressed in a white T-shirt, black shorts, high-top black Converse, and there's a little cartoon of him dressed the same way, with the caption, There's nothing wimpy about starring in a major Hollywood film, even if it is called Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The gymnasium is packed with people and lights and wrestling equipment. Young actors sit at the edges of a green mat. A girl in headgear and a coach wearing wristbands and holding a whistle prepare for the next scene. But all eyes are on one of the shortest boys in the room. Dark-haired Zachary Gordon is the star of the show. Hollywood producers chose him out of more than 1,000 candidates to play Greg Heffley, the main character in Diary of a Wimpy Kid, a new film in theaters now and based on the book by former scout Jeff Kinney. The cast and crew are shooting a scene in which a girl humiliates the wimpy kid in P.E. class. The female wrestler towers over Zachary as they circle each other on the mat. The cameras roll as extras and film crew members sit in the nearby bleachers. Zachary repeats his lines over and over as the director coordinates shots from different angles. In the scene's big finish, the girl wrestler slams Zachary to the mat. They do the scene three times, then four. Between takes, the young actors talk to each other and mess around in the small gym. They play with medicine balls and exercise bands until the next shot is ready. Zachary says his lines a ninth time. He never seems exhausted, but he does look pleased when the director finally says, Good, moving on. Dream role. Zachary Gordon has performed on television and in movies. He has voiced characters for animated films. At age 12, he's already an experienced actor. Still playing Greg Heffley, the flawed hero in the best-selling Wimpy Kid series, is a little different from what he's done before. This is the biggest role I've ever played, he says. It's also the role he has always wanted. Zachary was offered the lead part in another film, but he turned it down to audition as Greg Heffley. He gave up a sure thing in exchange for a shot at the movie he wanted most of all. I love the books, and it was fun hearing about the audition, Zachary says. After the audition, I slept with the books under my pillows every night. Whatever he did, it worked. I was extremely happy to get the role, Zachary says. I think I couldn't thank the producers enough. Hard work. Filming began late last summer in Canada. Because Zachary played the main character, his schedule was filled with acting, makeup, interviews, even classes with a private tutor to make sure he kept up with his schoolwork. Playing Greg Heffley was indeed the role he'd always wanted, but making the movie also demanded some long days and hard work. Turn the page to see Zachary's own diary, illustrated Wimpy Kid style by Jeff Kinney, describing a typical day on set. The Zachary Gordon File. Zachary is from Southern California. He was born February 15, 1998. He has two older brothers. Other films include Madagascar, Escape to Africa, and National Treasure, Book of Secrets. His interests away from acting include basketball, video games, hanging out with friends. In the future, I want to go to film school and become a director or a producer, Zachary says, or I may want to become a physician and help people around the world, which is one of my other dreams. Now let's find out about the day in the life of Zachary Gordon's life as the big screen Greg Heffley. In the morning, a transport picks me up at my apartment at 7:36 a.m. We arrive at the circus base camp, the area outside set where the equipment, food, and wardrobe trailers are parked, around 8 a.m. I go to my trailer to change into today's wardrobe. I walk to hair and makeup, where Lisa puts on my makeup and Donna puts the wimpy sprigs in my hair. I eat a hard-boiled egg and pancakes for breakfast. Transport takes me to the set at Shaughnessy Elementary, where we begin that day's shoot. In one of my key scenes, Rachel Harris, my on-screen mom, drops me off for the first day of middle school and mortifies me by shouting out the window, "Have a great first day, sweetie pie! Go get 'em, Tiger!" Between scenes, I go to school with Natalie, my set teacher. After finishing our morning shoot, we break for lunch at 1:30 p.m. My mom, dad, and two brothers who are visiting set join me. Lunch is great. We have one of my favorite meals, burgers, fries, and ice cream cake. After lunch, I have my hair and makeup touched up, and I'm back at set by 2:15 p.m. We shoot a couple more scenes. Between takes, I squeeze in a 20-minute interview with Fox International. Here's the interview. Zachary, tell us about your early movie roles. Where were you always such a talented actor? Zachary responds, "Here's my headshot and bio. Now, shoo." Continuing with the article, "The best part of the day is shooting my favorite scene. It is Greg's fantasy about being on safety patrol. I'm in the center with three other safety patrol kids on either side of me. A smoke machine is going, and we march forward confidently in our aviator glasses, whistles, reflective vests, and high-tech shin and arm guards and boots. We look like CIA operatives. I rap. Editor's note, that's movie talk for finish up. At 5:30 and get transport back down to makeup, where they perform their daily cleaning ritual, then back to the trailer to put on my street clothes. Transport then takes my mom and me back to our apartment, where I de-dress by playing my favorite computer game, Toontown. I de-stress by playing my favorite computer game, Toontown. After an hour of computer, my mom makes dinner, and I meet with my acting coach, Tony. We go over the next day's scenes. After 30 minutes, I get ready for bed, watch some TV on the sofa, and fall asleep." Hear from the real-life Wimpy Kid. Listen to Boys Life exclusive Zachary Gordon interview at boyslife.org. Now for our next article, Follow the Leader. This is on page 26. Follow the leaders. When a local Cub Scout pack needs help, Mississippi Boy Scouts step up and fill a void. And here's a nice big picture on pages 26 and 27 with a few Cub Scouts along with some Boy Scouts. It looks like they're showing them the art of tying knots. Let's begin with the article. In September 2005, the eye of Hurricane Katrina passed over Hancock County in Mississippi. Most of the towns in the area were wiped off the map. Many families had to move away, which severely compromised local scout programs, but only temporarily. Thanks to the leadership skills of six boys from Troop 210 in Diamond Head, Mississippi, part of the Cub Scout program in Hancock County is on its way back. In the years following the storm, the Pine Burr Area Council has struggled to find enough adults to serve as Cub Scout leaders. So for now, the six scouts have stepped up to fill the void. The boys volunteered to help start a new unit, PAC 210, which had only a Cub Master and no adult leaders. This allowed Cub Scouts, whose PACs had shut down, to continue being part of the program. The Scouts planned activities and relearned the cheers, songs, and skits that make Cub Scouts so much fun. They also helped run a recruiting program to bring in new Cub Scouts. Working with their district's assistant commissioner and the PAC 210 Cub Master, the guys went through the BSA's Fast Start Cub Scout Leader Training Program and basically learned how to be part-time den leaders. They did all this even though many of their own homes also were damaged or destroyed by Katrina. Their hard work allowed the parents of the Cub Scouts to focus on rebuilding their lives. Scouts whose troops chose next month's suggested program theme, Leadership, will learn how to become better leaders, both within their troop and their community. Now, becoming a leader takes a lot of things, sometimes even games. Next article is entitled, Games to Play. Improve your leadership skills by organizing one or more of these games at your next troop meeting. Cross the Pit. A squad of scouts is equipped with a collection of ropes of various lengths and a set of spars. The problem, an alligator pit teeming with hungry reptiles must be crossed. The team leader directs his squad as they attempt a pioneering project that will get them across the pit. Will he build a bridge? A walker? That's something for the leader. That's something the leader must decide. And it has a picture of boys walking across on, like they're crossing a pit on these tight boards. Next game. Anything that requires a blindfold. Nothing says I trust my leader like putting on a blindfold and allowing him to direct you through a series of tasks, like walking through a fake minefield. Keep these activities safe and low impact so you don't end up slamming into a tree at full speed. Other challenges include the blind shape maker, in which one leader directs a handful of scouts to form a particular shape with a length of rope, or the blind walk, in which a leader directs his group through a slow-paced obstacle course, or even something as simple as directing a scout to tie a knot while blindfolded. Trolley walk. Start with 2 4x4 lengths of wood around 10 feet long, with 5 to 8 lengths of rope attached to each piece, about 2 feet apart. A team leader coordinates his squad as they stand with 1 foot on each piece of wood and attempt to walk by lifting the ropes and moving forward on one coordinated movement. Spice things up by adding another team and making it a race. The lineup. One team leader must organize his squad into a lineup in the right order based on birth dates. Here's the catch. He's allowed to ask each scout his birthday only one time, and no other talking is allowed. And finally, the last game, COPE, C-O-P-E, is called Challenging Outdoor Personal Experience. But it can easily become a challenging outdoor team experience if you designate one person to be responsible for all of the decisions. A typical COPE course requires a group of scouts to navigate a series of obstacles while following a specific set of rules. Add one more rule. The team captain directs all of the actions, no questions asked. How many of you have ever collected things? I'm sure many of you have. Let's find out what some of our other scouts have collected down through the years. From Austin Denny in Rock Spring, Georgia, he says, I collect minor league baseball team hats. I have 27. My favorite is from the Chattanooga Lookouts. Nicholas Schiffer in Irwin, Ohio, I collect maps from different states and countries. From Ben Whitea in Lincoln, Nebraska, I collect autographs from race car drivers. I have 18 total, including NASCAR star Carl Edwards. From Luca Jewell from Clarkston, Michigan, my family collects shells from around the world, and we make necklaces out of them. We have shells from France, Norway, Spain, and Portugal. From Brandon Nguyen from Elk Grove, California, I collect Dum Dum wrappers. I have more than 800. Ty Erickson from Beulah, North Dakota, I collect bumper stickers and put them on my guitar case to show people everywhere I've been. From Stefan Meiser from San Juan Bautista, California, I collect flies for fly fishing. Some are 40 years old. From Logan Shola in Waconia, Minnesota, I collect sports team pennants. From Luke B. in Hillsboro, California, I collect hacky sacks from around the world. From Elijah Lang, Monterey, California, I collect cool sunglasses. Then there's Chris Sloan from Bridgewater, New Jersey. He says, I collect calendars because I like to stay up to date. Jack Ashburn in Houghton, Michigan, I collect Lego Star Wars ships and display them on my shelf. From Cole Dollar in Yorktown, Virginia, I collect flashlights. My favorite is a camouflage mag light. Then there's Shinogu Atkins from Shoreline, Washington. I collect pencils from different colleges and universities around the world. And from Zach Caratini from Dixon, North Dakota, I collect bouncy balls. I have 32 so far. from Bergen, Hago in Aliso Viejo, California. I collect passport stamps from the Magic Treehouse book series. I have 28. And from Paul Herbert in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I collect refrigerator magnets from all over, including California, Ireland, Germany, Italy, Austria, and France. And from Philip Cicero, I collect models of historic planes, ships, and tanks. I build and paint them myself. And finally, from Nicholas Kaufman from San Ramon, California, I collect sheet music for the saxophone, guitar, ukulele, trombone, and trumpet. Space and aviation. Look back, fly forward. Mojave Air and Spaceport represents aviation's past and future. The United States Marines used the spaceport area as an air station beginning in July 1942. Today, it serves as both a garage and cemetery for yesteryear's aircraft. In an area known as the Boneyard, planes of all types and vintages are stored for refurbishing, rebuilding, or scrapping. Dry desert conditions prevent the aircraft from rusting. A 3,300-acre compound also acts as a launching point for space travel. In 2004, Spaceship One launched here and claimed a $10 million prize for becoming the first private craft to ferry a pilot out of Earth's atmosphere. Today, Virgin Atlantic uses the facility to build ships that will someday carry paying customers into space and back. Next article. Read all about it. Amateur astronomers can own a month-by-month map of the heavens, charting the changing night sky through the seasons. Planet positions and eclipses are listed through 2014 in the monthly sky guide by Ian Radpath and Will Tyrion, Cambridge University Press. Searching for a second home. The United States space probe Kepler orbits the sun and constantly stares at the same 100,000-plus stars. The goal? To find Earth-sized exoplanets where liquid water and life might exist. Exoplanets are planets that orbit other stars. Launched in March 2009, Kepler uses an extremely sensitive photometer, or light meter, to search a nearby region of the Milky Way galaxy. So far, most of the known exoplanets are jumbo worlds like Jupiter or bigger. Kepler will continue searching for exoplanets that are Earth-sized or smaller on his mission, which will last 3.5 years or longer. I want some games to play. And what about Pedro? Let's go to the hitching rack on page 2. Ah, Pedro, here's a joke I'll submit to B&L. If you take away the trunk from a spotted gronk, how will it smell? Answer, trunk or no trunk, a gronk still smells pretty bad. Okay. Well, first one, he says, Dear Pedro, my mom writes down a joke from Think and Grin and puts it in my lunch every day. They make me laugh a lot. I share them with my sixth grade friends. That's Austin Clarch from St. Louis, Missouri. Pedro responds, be careful when you mix food with humor, Austin. I once was drinking an alpha milkshake and reading Think and Grin when my hee-hawing caused the milkshake to come out my nose. The boss was almost smiling when he handed me the mop. Dear Pedro, it is inspiring to read about everyday scouts doing a good turn for their communities in a true story of Scouts in Action. Even my first aid merit badge counselor and Scouts in Action as an example for his class. That's from Connor Dooley in Honolulu, Hawaii. And Pedro writes back, thanks for the good word, Connor. Quick thinking. Scouts are good role models. Hey, Martian meeting Pedro. Your comic is hilarious. Has the bossy boss of yours tried your green ice cream? Why isn't he in your comic? That's from Alex in Jessup, Maryland. Well, Pedro says, The boss has never tried my recipes intentionally, Alex. He did pick up my alpha milkshake once and take a sip. Pretty funny, but to be in my comic, you have to be, well, how do I put this delicately? Not quite so scary and funny at the same time. Dear Super Funny Pedro, I love your funny comics and the serious ones. You should show the boss who's really the boss. That's from Joey McRae in Lombard, Illinois. Pedro writes back, then I guess I would hold up a mirror, Joey. After all, he is the boss. Dear Pedro, dear super cool, awesome Pedro, every time I get a copy of the magazine, you'd better bet that I'm reading it. I like to read Hitch and Rack first. Why do people call you such crazy names? That's from Ethan Shaw in Buford, Georgia. Pedro writes back, you should hear what the boss calls me at times, Ethan. Talk about crazy. Dear awesome Pedro, I really like the collecting column. I collect anything I find on the floor. How many more working boroughs are there in the world? And is the boss even human? He sounds more like an alien. That's from Pat Davidson in Topeka, Kansas. Pedro, oops, the boss is reading over my shoulder. Sorry, boss, about the crazy comment. Oh, funny, boss. He says there are no working male boroughs in the world. And he assures you that he is human, and he assures me I'll be looking for aliens in outer space if I don't start hauling the mailbox. So, I'm all hooves and twitchy tail. Guys, catch you next time. And now from the series Heads Up, Frozen in Time. It has a big picture of three mammoths. Boy, are they big. A reindeer herder and two of his sons discovered Layuba, the best-preserved baby woolly mammoth ever found. In 2007 in Siberia, Russia, now for the first time in the United States, this ancient mammal is going on display. Catch the exhibit this month through September 6th at the Field Museum in Chicago, Illinois, before it embarks on an international tour. Now for some news and notes, pages 8 to 9. How about meeting a video game superstar? Shigeru Miyamoto is the creator of all the Mario games. From Nintendo, he also came up with the idea for The Legend of Zelda, which was influenced by his experiences as a scout. Here's what he recently had to say to Boys Life. The question, what's cool about New Super Mario Brothers? Wii. He answers, it's kind of what I call a hybrid. You can play a single player and get all of the challenge you'd expect from a side-scroller. On top of that, you can jump in with another person at any time as you play any of the levels. Question, wasn't Mario originally called Jumpman? Miyamoto's answer, yes, but before that he was called Mr. Video because it was my dream for him to appear in many different video games. Question, how did being a member of the Scout Association of Japan influence you? Shigeru, it let me get out into the nature. Just outside the city of Kobe, Japan, is Mount Roko. You climb through the forest of this mountain, and at the top of the trail opens up on this big lake. That became the idea for the first Zelda game where you walk through the forest and see this big, expansive water. But it's not just simply the place. It's the air and the atmosphere and the feelings, the fear and the excitement and the wonder that all stuck with me. Question, how did your parents influence you? Shigeru answers, my father was a school teacher and was relatively strict. He was constantly telling me I needed to study. My mother, on the other hand, was very encouraging when I tried new things, such as drawing pictures and things like that. I think it was a good balance between the two of them. Question, what toys and games did you play as a kid? Shigeru answers, I try to recreate the toys that I saw and have fun doing that. The other thing I enjoyed was putting together plastic models, mostly airplanes. I'd paint them and sometimes blow them up. Cross out. Would you rather eat an ice cream cone covered in ants or a hot dog smothered in caterpillar guts? Grab your friends and answer 300 crazy questions like this with Would You Rather? Doubly Disgusting by Justin Humberg and David Gumberg. And now let's read the article entitled Catching Up with Joe Maurer, a baseball player. As the reigning American League Most Valuable Player, Minnesota Twins catcher Joe Maurer is also the cover athlete on the video game Major League Baseball 10, the show. In an exclusive interview with Boys Life, Maurer talks baseball, video games, and more. Question, what baseball tips do you have for our readers? And Joe answers, just have fun. That's what I did when I was younger and what I try to do on the field today. Try not to do a whole lot. Stay within yourself. Just take what the pitcher gives you. Don't try to hit a home run every time you're up. As great as that would be, it's just not going to happen. Question, when you're on the field as catcher, a lot is going on. You have to know the batter, what the pitcher wants, the signals, and more. Joe answers, the more you've been in the game, the more you learn how to compute all those things at once. They come naturally after a while. I do have to know who's on the mound that day and what he's capable of doing that day. I formulate a plan from there. Question, you made the cover of the video game Major League Baseball 10, the show. Are you a video game fan? Joe answers, I play a lot of sports games and have played a lot of versions of Madden football. A couple of friends use certain parts of Major League Baseball, the show, to help their kids learn how to play real-life baseball better. I did motion capture work for the game so my character looks and moves more like me. And final question, what moment on the field do you remember most? Joe answers, well, most recently, it was the game 163 in 2009. We were playing the Detroit Tigers, and whoever won got in the playoffs. It was a real roller coaster ride all the way. I remember the extra innings and just that last out running around the Metrodome and thanking the fans. And finally, from nature, fly by night. See a tornado of nocturnal creatures at the Eckerd James River Bat Cave Preserve near Mason, Texas. Crowds gather Sunday through Thursday nights from mid-spring to mid-fall to watch millions of Mexican tree-tailed bats swoosh from their lair. The bats fly in a circle, just inches from front-row visitors' faces, forming a powerful vortex that generates wind up to 12 miles per hour. It sounds like a rushing river. This wind helps lift the bats 2 miles into the air. Bats at the top of the tornado break off and scour the skies for insects like mosquitoes and the corn earworm moth, the most costly agricultural pest in North America. Insects on display. Backyard bugs are close and personal. In the Insect Museum by Sonia Durlot. See detailed photos and even learn about the name, habitat, history, and size of 114 everyday insects. Next time we'll do Ashamed in the Wild. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Boys Life. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long, until next time.